Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Bucks UK TV. We're nearly into double figures, and it's been great having all of your views and all of your feedback. So thank you very much. Today, I am joined by Alex.
Hi, everyone.
I'm joined by Graham.
Hello.
I'm joined by Gary.
Hello.
If for some reason on the Zoom call is calling himself Gazza, we can possibly come back to that later on. So our running order will be the usual things. We're going to work out what went well against the Broncos and how on earth we can try and photocopy that and do it again and again and again. We'll hear from some of our members. We'll do a little competition update, and then we will look forward to what's happening against the Chargers. As ever, we want your views. Please do comment on the forum. Please do send us your thoughts and videos to mail@bucksuk.org. And obviously, you can also WhatsApp us your videos or thoughts to 07311 212 713. At which point then, let's go and work out what happened against the Broncos. So the Broncos, obviously it was the right result, but I think it's fair to say it probably wasn't perfect. Alex, maybe if we start with the offensive side of the ball, which was probably the most offensive part of the game, how do you reckon it went?
Compared to the previous 2 weeks, I thought it was absolutely amazing, to be honest with you. This offense is certainly getting better week by week now they're having a chance to play more with each other. And, you know, Brady's getting to learn the offense, and the rest of the offense is getting to know how Brady plays. It was good to see Gronkowski involved a bit more this week. Unlucky, I think, not to have a touchdown. Brady just overthrew him, but he made some good plays and got us down the field. Mike Evans, two targets, two receptions, two touchdowns for 2 yards. So, didn't move us down the field in big jumps, but you had 100% record in the game, so can't complain on that one. Again, I thought Scotty Miller played well. Chris Godwin came back in and looked good. Offensively, I thought we did really, really well. The run game, we couldn't really get going on the run game. I don't think we had... I think it was something like 70, 80 yards altogether on the run game. So we struggled with that one there. But certainly in terms of passing the ball, moving downfield, I thought offensively we looked a lot better in the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot there to pick through, as you've highlighted. Mm. The first two that you talked about, the sort of trying to get the ball to Gronk, it's like almost like we like laser sights locked on Gronk. We were going to throw it to him no matter what. And then the other thing you picked up, I thought the overthrows were interested. You know, mentioning no names, Drew Brees. There's other quarterbacks around the league that seem to have lost some of their arm with their age. But I think, you know, Brady's definitely still got it and firing it. Graham, what did you think when you saw it?
Yeah, much the same as Alex. I think it's an improving picture week on week, and it's really not surprising when you look at a new quarterback coming in, a few new offensive tools coming in, and no preseason. So, you know, Brady's slotting into a new system, no matter how experienced he is, it's going to take time. And a guy as good as him, as knowledgeable as him, it's happening pretty quickly. And you can see he's becoming the guy we hoped he would in a Buccaneer jersey. I think it's great to see Gronk getting the ball. I think both tight ends really looking the part now. And I think the game opens up for them when Evans is playing so well, when Godwin's catching the ball. I think the final piece of the jigsaw is, as Alex alluded to, I think there's the running game, and I'll probably talk about that a bit more throughout. I think seen glimpses of it. We've seen Fournette in spells. We've seen a good bit of Rojo, but it's not quite clicking there yet. And I think once that clicks, I think all bets are off.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary, obviously, I can't talk to you without first of all admiring your wonderful attire. I'm so jealous. I think I've had mine on order since about 2018 and it's still not arrived. Wow. What about the guy that was wearing it on Sunday, though?
Well, the guy that was wearing this was sat on his sofa watching Mike Evans catch two balls for 2 yards and two touchdowns. And do you know, that apparently that is only the third time that's ever happened, and Mike Evans is the first wide receiver to have that stat line. So that was pretty good. I actually ordered this back in April. It came last week. So I'm happy about that at least. In terms of the offence, the words I wrote on my notes was, the phrase work in progress. I agree completely. I know I don't often agree with my co-hosts, but I agree completely with Alex and Graham. You saw a progression from week two from week one, and you saw it again week three to week two. Brady was better. The running backs, the running game was okay. I'm a bit worried about Chris Godwin's injury, if I'm honest. But apart from that, yeah, I thought it was a good performance, and I was sat at home watching, reasonably comfortable, knowing that we weren't going to throw it away.
I think we all felt the same, and I think when we come to talk about special teams, we'll probably go through the similar sorts of thought process. But I think, you know, the point you made about Godwin and the injuries, I mean, we are so lucky this year that I think the depth is, you know, the phrase next man up, it's rolled out, it's a bit trite. But I think it's true now. There's enough people and enough depth that the people can fill in. And that's why I kind of think it's interesting, Graham, we'll come back to what you were saying about the running game. Because, you know, there's a sort of next man up, you know, running back by committee. I don't think it's working, is it?
No, I don't think we've found, and far be it from me, who knows relatively little about the game, but it just appears that the running Rojo up the middle and trying to get Fournette to the outside, and it seems the wrong way around. I think once they settle into some kind of rhythm and they know what they're going to get out of each of the running backs, and it might be like it's been over the past few seasons, it's on an ad hoc basis, depending on the game, that one of the running backs clicks in a certain game, and that's the guy they go to in that game, and then the next game it's someone different, because there really are three of them in there getting handed the ball, so they just don't seem to have settled into any kind of a routine yet. But I think it'll get there.
That's what they say ride the hot hand or some other sort of phrase, don't they? Find out who's clicking. But Nick Moore on the forum, our quarterback whisperer, he's turned his attention to the running backs now because he's got the goat to not worry about. Alex, I mean, what Nick was saying was that we've got the right running backs, but we're using them in the wrong way. You know, I think he was saying we weren't playing to each running back's strengths. Do you think that might have something to do with it?
Well, it could well do, or it could be that our offensive line aren't giving them the space to work that they need to. You know, we tend to use Rojo to try and just bully his way through the middle, which, you know, when he gets going, as we saw last season, he can do that. But he does also have an awful lot of speed, Rojo. So if you can get him out wide into the outside, some space thing, you know, if he has that gap, he can go for it. So maybe he's got a point there. And Fournette, he's all about power and just bulldozing his way through. So very possible. I think that's a good point. And maybe if that changes, we might see a bit more production on the running game going forward.
Cool. Okay, well, let's move on to the other side of the ball then. And Gary, maybe we'll start with you. You can have first dibs. I just thought it was light and day. I mean, there looks like such consistency, such ferocity, such attention to detail. I mean, the penalties were predominantly on the other side of the ball. I mean, they're clearly not playing a perfect game, but it's pretty good, isn't it, Gary?
I think this defence has got a real good shot at being the number one ranked defence at the end of the season. I think they are phenomenal. The word I've written down in my notes is scary. The one thing they bring is pressure all the time. The QBs, whichever one it was, had no time at all. It was six sacks, wasn't it? You've had two now in 2 weeks from this year's Defensive Rookie of the Year, Anton Winfield Jr. The only thing that really gets, I was going to swear then, I won't. The only thing that really gets me annoyed about defenses is this so-called prevent defense that we went into at the end of the first half. We allowed a third and 20 on that drive, and the result of that was a touchdown at the end of the drive. But for that, we'd have held the team to 3 points. Now, that's pretty good going in this day and age. The only thing the prevent defense does is prevent me having a comfortable evening. It is just ridiculous that you allow, you know, it's Mike Smith's defense all over again, because he was in it 100% of the time. You allow the receiver to catch the ball and then you tackle him. But the fact that the receiver is 10, 20 yards down the field means they don't take any time off the clock, which is what they're trying to achieve by doing so. To me, it is ludicrous. You keep the pressure, you keep that front four, five, six, however many it is that they're throwing at the quarterback, you keep them going and keep the pressure on. It's lovely. It is absolutely fantastic. I've been watching the Bucs for 35 years, and all I've done is seen Bucs quarterbacks running for their life. It's now fantastic to see the opposition's quarterback running for their life.
Well, I think the point you make about prevent is really important, because playing against Driscoll or whoever, you know, we're up against the younger or rookie or backup quarterbacks in the game, when we come to talk about next week, we can discuss that. But we've still got Mahomes, we've still got Breeze, we've still got Rodgers, who is quite frankly sort of got a bionic arm so far this season.
But we have Todd Bowles, remember, who's pretty good defensive coordinator. And I'm pretty sure you'll see when we play Mahomes that we won't bring the kitchen sink as we did against Driscoll and Ripon, because Baltimore tried it last night and he just carved them up. Because you throw the kitchen sink at the QB, you leave gaps behind. And Mahomes will take advantage of that. And hopefully Bowles will know that and adjust the game plan accordingly.
And you mentioned obviously Ripon, who came in there. Was I the only one who got sort of misty-eyed and thought, I recognise that surname?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Several of us made the point on the forum that we'd watched his uncle.
Yeah, you're older than you look, Kieran.
I know. I got started at a young age, in my defence. But yeah, I mean, I think I went and bought my Touchdown magazine with Mark Ripon on the cover after that Super Bowl. So Graham, what was your take? Gary said all the good things, and you're allowed to say the good things as well, but kind of what were you looking for? What did you want to see?
No, I mean, to me, it's almost all good. I would probably put the hex on them here, but I mean, they remind me so much of Monty Kiffin's defense from the late 90s, early 2000s. The speed, especially coming out of the backfield, making tackles, flying all over the place, is just phenomenal. All starts up front. The guys up front are getting the pressure on. And the blitzes that they threw in there were incredible. I think at one point, about four guys made it to the quarterback. It's just fantastic to watch. As Gary says, it's great to see the other quarterback hitting the deck so often. Penalties, again, offense and defense, I think there's still too many. I think we'd have been 8 or 9 on Sunday there again. And we're getting by in games like this where we're well ahead. But in the tight games, I don't think you can afford so many penalties. But defensively, I think there's very little to complain about. Really very, very little to complain about. I think it's very impressive.
You mentioned speed, and I think that's definitely with Winfield. But actually, I was reading the Bucs website during the week. I like the old SS mailbag that Scott Smith does. And he was saying about Jameel Dean. I hadn't really given him credit. He ran a 4.3 when he went through his training day. And I thought, they are quick guys. And I think the key to that is obviously with they're bringing the pressure. Pressure only works if you can then man mark whoever's left. And the fact that they can go toe-to-toe with the receivers and we don't have to play prevent, or we don't have to do sort of lots of complex zone rotations and things to try and trick them, but we can just go, I'm quicker and better than you. You're not going to get open. Makes it simpler and easier, surely.
Definitely. The other thing that impressed me more so this week than previous weeks was the tackling. Once they got to the man, no one was let go. They were all brought down every single time. The first man got there, pulled them down, and far too often over the last few years, how often have we got a guy in the backfield and he's slipped out and gone for 20 yards and stuff like that? It's not happening now. I think they're really getting a grasp of things.
Which that basically is anti-Kamara tactics. later in the season, that's going to become really important. But I think David and Wyatt must have some sort of bet going, because it's kind of like, I stand them up and you come and clean them out, and then they repay the favour the next down. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Graham and Gary. To be more view, the defense looks superb. It is. I've only been following the Bucks since 2012. But this is certainly the best defense that I've seen over that short amount of time. One thing I do have to complain about, though, and it is the weakest part of our defense, is still us against the pass. You know, Gary he mentioned that play at the end of the second half where the Broncos went, it was something like 60, 70 yards in 2 minutes. And if I remember correctly, they threw the ball every single time and they picked up first downs every single time. Now, no disrespect to the Broncos, but they are hit with injuries all over the place. My fear is that if we come, you know, when we come up against Drew Brees again, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, they're gonna focusing on that weakness, and they could really hurt us there. Don't get me wrong, this secondary is getting much, much better, and it's improving drastically as each game goes by. But that's certainly gonna, I think that could be our Achilles heel there. But in terms of the rush defense, absolutely brilliant. The words that you guys were using in terms of speed, it's just scary. It's I love watching it. It's brilliant to see how quickly we're penetrating the offensive line, getting through, and that's brilliant. I think Devin White and Levante David are, in my opinion, the best lineback pairing in the NFL. I think they're both absolutely superb. Winfield Jr., again, he's been mentioned already. He had a stunning game last night. And this defense is really, really exciting. It's going to do great things, I think, going forward.
I think I agree with what you're saying, Alex. I think we maybe forget a little bit that the guys, these defensive backs, still very young. I mean, last year, most of them, that was the rookie seasons, you know, first time in the big league. And they've become so good so quickly that you tend to just let it slip your mind that they're only maybe, you know, in their second season in the league. It's, I think, improvement is still to come in that group. I think you're right. It probably is if there is a weak point, that may well be it. But I think the potential.
Even the veterans, though, Mike Evans, 27.
Yeah.
Apart from Brady and Gronk, they're all young.
They took the average age of the team up by about 5 years, those two.
Yeah.
Just bear in mind as well that last year no team could run on us. So they were throwing a lot. And early in the season, they were finding out the rookies and the first-year players in the secondary. But they grew up towards the end of the year and they were playing really, really well the last 5-6 games. And that's carried on. And if the improvement continues, you know, as I say, I'm convinced this is a good chance, this defence, of being the number one ranked defence at the end of the year.
Mm. Yeah, the other thing that helps the defensive stats is when you've got an offence that doesn't go 3-and-out every time. We play a bit of ball control and put some drives together. Your defense are sitting there fresh, come off the bench, and they're ready to go. And that makes a big difference over the 60 minutes.
I don't think we turned the ball over. I don't think we turned the ball over once, did we? Which was great to see. And we another good thing. I know we're going into more detail shortly, but I remember Gary said a few weeks back about our starting position in terms of when we're on offense, and that was a big improvement this week as well. So there's definitely a lot of pros to take from the game on Sunday.
Yep, I think that's a good segue into special teams, because I think that field position, the battle of where you get the ball, where you give the ball, you know, it felt like there were some splash plays on special teams, but I'm still not convinced we've turned it round. Am I being pessimistic, Graham?
Probably realistic. I think again there's been improvement, and it's one of those elements of the game that you probably do need a bit of time to work on it. There's been no pre-season. I think you can give them a little bit of slack, cut them a little bit of slack for that. But still some kind of mental blocks, some silly penalties, that type of thing. I think by about week 5 or 6, I'll be able to breathe while we're taking a kick, a field goal. I just sit and close my eyes and hold my breath and wait for the commentator to tell me it's gone over.
Face the wrong way. You have to everyone to turn around.
It's just, but improving. I think the kicker himself, I think he's a pretty good kicker. He's got a decent leg on him. I think he'll be fine. Yep, him.
Gary?
I described them on the podcast a couple of weeks ago as mediocre. In this game, I thought they were splendid. That's the word I would use. I love the block punt. That's the first one we've had for 3 or 4 years. the best bit about that block punt was it was the guy that blocked it that picked it up. And I can't tell you, someone who used to many years ago turn out on a rugby field, it's incredibly difficult to pick a rugby ball up while you're running and it's rolling away from you. And he did it brilliantly. Okay, and he got another 3 or 4 yards, but at least he got onto it and didn't cough it up to them. Just going on to the field position, that gave us a ball on their 10. Against New Orleans, the best start position we had was our own 25. So special teams really can make a difference. It was fantastic. Yeah, and as Graham said, the kicker, you know, I can breathe easily now when he steps up to take a kick. As long as it's inside about sort of 45, I've got no issue. The one block, again, I've been back today. I brought it up on YouTube and had a look at it. There are times when you just have to applaud the guy that makes a really good play. And the guy that blocked that kick, it was fantastic. It was Tristan Wirth's like jumping out of a swimming pool. You just have to applaud the guy for making a good play. And I don't put any blame on anybody on our special teams for that. So, you know, again, massive improvement from week one against New Orleans. If they carry on getting, you know, improving, getting better every week, going to be fantastic.
And that's a really interesting point, because normally when, like, the earlier miscues in the season, you think, well, if we block that way instead of that way, or if that person's covering that person, we can fix it. But the sheer athleticism of jumping over the centre is just to behold. I mean, there's so many rules now that say, you know, you can't be assisted in your jumping, you mustn't come down in contact with a member of the opposing team. He cleared the guy, and it was almost like a standing jump. It wasn't like a running. It was almost like one of those where, you know, when you're at the combine trying to hit the things at the top. My worry is we you know, if we can't defend that, what do you do?
The one thing I noticed watching it back was that our long snapper actually gets really, really low to the ground. In the Chiefs-Ravens games last night, the long snappers were a lot more stood up, if that's the right expression. Their head was several inches higher than our guy. So I'm just wondering if Keith Armstrong, our coordinator on special teams, might get a hold of him and see if he can adjust his body position.
I think Gary and Graham said it all. It was I was very impressed with how we were on special teams on Sunday. The block punt was great to watch. I was literally jumping up and down when we got that block punt, because it's the first one I've seen that we've done for a while. Again, the kicker, it can breathe much easier now. There was a tweet, I can't remember who made it now, but there was a tweet that said, we've got a kicker. And he made the field goal on that one. Then his very next kick was the one he misses. So someone cursed the kick on that one. But yeah, I think he's still made, I think it's seven out of the 8 kicks he's had for us, he's made 7 of them, which compared to what we've had previously is much better than what we've had. The field position again.
I'm going to put you on the spot there, because you kind of think you're saying all the good stuff, but punt returns. That's the thing we haven't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't managed to run more than a handful back. Hey, that's the league now. Mm-hmm. But where we have, you know, it's going backwards. It's, you know, 2 yards of, you know, being tackled. There's no explosion on punt returns. I don't necessarily put it all on the punt returner. I think, you know, the people might, you know, going man to man with the gunners. We think when we're in punt return, we've got 2 men on each of the gunners, and the guy's still got no time. So,
yeah, if you remember, Kieran, a couple of weeks ago, my Bruce Arians waiver magic wand moment was get a return game. Mm-hmm. And we did actually start to see it in this game. I don't think we'd had a single yard in returns the first 2 games. If it was next to nothing. And we did at least get 30 or 40 yards in returns in this game.
Yeah. So, Gary, you talked about the magic wand. That's the time we're up to. This is your strap on your best Bruce Arians mask, stick on the beanie, and yeah, what are you going to do this week, Gary?
I'm going to magic Chris Godwin's hamstring better.
Okay, that's good.
As I'm not, or I don't think Bruce Arians is a doctor, I'm going to put some more imaginative plays into the playbook. we all saw the flea flicker a couple of weeks. Was it last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I love the flea flicker. In fact, you even mentioned it on the podcast. There was a play in the Chiefs-Ravens game last night that went through about three players back to Mahomes, who then threw it to the running back who'd thrown it back to him in the first place. It was just brilliant. We need a bit of creativity. So,
do you think that's because we haven't opened up the playbook because we're trying to get the basics down? Or do you think it just doesn't get, it's just not in there?
I can't remember the last time I saw any sort of adventure or any sort of imagination on offense. It's just tradition. You know, first down, we run the little guy up the middle. Second down, we run the little guy up the middle. You know, we rarely see any variation on that. We just need to do something different.
I mean, down at the goal line, we had that wide receiver jet screen, didn't we? We went straight to Mike Evans, who took it in. But was it you that said that we've done that before? Because I didn't remember
that. We did that last year. There was a game last year where he did exactly the same thing. You know, I love the Vita Vea touchdown last year. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We need things like that. Get Vita in on offense, on the goal line. Stuff like that. Even if you don't use him, throw it to Mike Evans for a one-yard touchdown. But bring Vita in as a decoy.
Just, you know, give them,
we need some
about
imagination, bit of creativity.
So, Graham, if you're the head coach, head honcho, what are you doing?
I'm going to wave the magic penalty wand and make penalties disappear. Mm-hmm. It's long been a bugbear of mine, and I actually put it down to the coaches as much as anything else, not instilling enough kind of, you know, whatever discipline in the players. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, you're facing a third down and short and you jump offside. Come on, you know, just crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm not saying all on Sunday, but over the 3 weeks, there's been some really, really bad penalties. And so far, you know, it's probably not necessarily lost as a game, but as you go through a season, these catch up with you, and that loses games. So for me, the big thing for Bruce to do is to get some discipline instilled there. And I think that's the magic wand will do that.
Very good. And Alex, you got a chance to be a magician.
Yeah, I'd like to see him use a memory charm and whatever the running game did against Carolina. I want to see it come back for next week, because we just couldn't get it going this week for whatever reason. So, we've seen that we can move the ball down the field by passing. Let's try and get those running backs back involved more, because they are getting involved more, but let's try and get them some more yards and really have a dual threat offense in terms of the passing and the run.
Okay. Well, there you hear it. That's our view on the Broncos. And now we will turn to our members' views to see what they thought. So our first view is from Scott Hanley, a member so new, I don't have a picture of you yet, Scott. I'm really sorry. Send me a picture of you, and if you make some more good comments, I'll put you in, I promise. Job done against very poor opposition. The D was great, looks a monster unit. I thought Brady was average and got sacked a little too easy for me. A few annoying and niggly penalties, but a win's a win, and on to bigger challenges. So I don't think any of us can disagree with you there, Scott. Philip Bushby, from no photos to two photos. Clearly, Philip's well connected with his friends Rob and Romesh. Having struggled for what feels like forever with a lack of weapons and options, it feels like we've really got some strength in depth now on the offense to go with a D that's really performed so far. Ryan Collings, and again, Ryan, I need a more up-to-date photo of you, mate. That's from Donkeys years ago. The D is definitely the strength, and it does feel like we're back in the 2000s, where we're just hoping the offense can click. Because if it does, then we have a serious contender. So I think, you know, echoing what Gary and others have already said, we could be seeing some halcyon days returning, perhaps. And then from David Hogg, best face tattoo I've seen for some time. Fell asleep in the late third quarter. Dull. I've just watched the rest of it. Great performance by the D again. I still think there is more to come from the O. We should have racked up a few more points in Q4. Anyway, onwards to next week and the Chargers. It will be a tough game, but I fancy us to come through.
I think I took that photograph, actually.
Did you really? Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's in Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, yeah, you did, you did.
Yeah.
And then Stuart Blackmore, NFL coaches adjust their masks more than my 8-year-old does. There was a lot of coach watch going on. After the fines, you could see, couldn't you? 2-1, let's go 3-1 next week. Go Bucks. Very good, Stuart. I think that's another angle to look at. Maybe we need to have a magic face mask next week. And then last, but by no means least, David Chambers. I got a bit tipsy and fell asleep. Did we win? There you go. That's the standard of dedication shown by our members. We wait till it's a Monday night game or coming up a Thursday night game and see how we get on there. So the next thing then is our competitions. We won't do the full rundown of all the competitions, but suffice to say, get in involved and get in, pick. There's the weekly competition now with the prediction. You can get in there, you can win. We're now giving away a T-shirt every week. This week, we've got one that Gary Woolard donated to the club. Thank you. It's one of those really good Arians ones, just sort of looking in the Bucko Bruce colour schemes. And because we've now got so many members, we're running more competitions. So you'll be able to have a T-shirt every week. So just get on the forum. It has to be on a Sunday because we want you to be on there for the game day. And you have a chance of winning another cracking T-shirt. We've got a really good one coming up this week. So hopefully, if you can see your name on the wheel, and even more hopefully, they're all spelt right, then we will have the chance to see who is our winner this week. So the wheel of names is spinning. The tension is palpable. And our winner is Stuart Hill. Stuart Hill, well done to you, sir. And your T-shirt will be on your way soon. We just need to obviously confirm your address to make sure that we can get your T-shirt to you. The fantasy football leagues are underway and there's already some serious grudges. Some people are really hoping to tank for next year, not realising it's not even a keeper league. So bless them. And as I say, get online, get on the forums and take part during the game, during the chat. If you're still watching this far in, clearly you like us and we clearly like you. So please subscribe. Please press the thumbs up. Please put a comment below. All of those things help us get higher up in the YouTube algorithms to try and reach more people. So you'll be really doing us a favour. Thank you very much. And now then, we look ahead to the Chargers game. So, Gary, what do you reckon the one of the main keys for you is for the game then?
Well, I've got a couple of keys, really. The first one is which quarterback he's going to be playing. Well, obviously, we all know the story about Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. I think we're assuming Herbert's going to be playing. I hope it is going to be him. So that's the first key. But really, the main key I've got is the I don't think enough is made about the time difference and the travel that the Chargers have got from the East Coast to the from the West Coast to the East Coast. That's, you know, going to be quite something with the travel restrictions they've got at the moment. You know, I'm rather hoping that they will struggle with the time difference.
And you're right, actually. They can't travel the night before the game. I don't think they just have to basically come in for the kickoff, don't they?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, under old rules, they would have come in the day before, or even 2 days before. And then, you know, possibly leave straight afterwards. Whatever it is, it's going to be awkward for them. And I severely hope that it is.
And it's really unusual, the time of the game. Obviously, it's a 1 p.m. kickoff. So for us in the UK, it's a 6 p.m. kickoff, which is the early game. And yeah, it's almost unheard of to be playing a West Coast team on an early game. So, I mean, well, they're going to be watching it over breakfast, aren't they, on the West Coast?
Well, that's right. And that makes the travel even harder. So, you know, you have to assume they'd come in the day before. I don't know if they'd do what the teams coming to London would normally do and stay on American time. But, you know, it's just going to be something that's going to be quite hard to get over, I think. It certainly works in our favour, shall we say that?
Okay, that's a really good key. I like that one, first of all. Graham, what kind of things are you thinking about?
For me, it's the run game. And I mean, both sides of the ball. I think the Chargers have a very decent run game, average about 150 yards per game so far. So they're pretty strong on that front. So they come up against the number one rush defense in Tampa Bay. So that's going to be a real key. We really are going to have to stifle their run game. And on our side, our own offensive side of the ball, I think we are, as we've all spoken about already, we're looking to establish the run and actually, rather than just see little flourishes here and there, have a running game from start to finish. You know, it's as Gary said, we don't just want the little guy up the middle on first down, then the same again on second down. You know, we want to see something, a game plan in place and establish the run and open up the field for Brady and those great offensive weapons.
And I think that's the when I was thinking about the run game, I had to go and look at the depth chart to work out who was there. This isn't the Chargers that we've been used to seeing in the for year after year after year. There's still Keenan Allen, there's still Joey Bosa, but there's a lot of new players on this team, a lot of pieces that are moving around a bit like us. And I think maybe it's taking a while to gel. So I looked at running back because, as you mentioned, so Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson. I've been watching the highlights. Both of them seem to have flashes of ability. They're far from incapable.
Yeah. No, they're pretty strong. They are pretty strong. But as I say, I think our defense is going to be the key. Defensive line will be the key. Stuff up their run game. If we do that, you know, I expect us to take them. But they've, I mean, if you look at the results, it's been pretty close all the games. You know, I play either way. They could have been sitting 2-1 or 3-0 or whatever. So, you know, they're a decent team. But I don't think they're an elite team, but they're a decent team.
And then on the Bucs side of the ball, so, you know, the running game again.
Yeah.
One of those things. I mean, I'm so not the coach. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, we talk about the run to set up the pass, and sometimes we talk about the pass to set up the run. It feels like a lot of that short passing that we know Brady likes and can do really well. Maybe that's something that can just buy a little bit of time in the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, someone else touched on earlier, I think it was Alex mentioned about maybe it's the offensive line that's not opening up the holes in the running game so far. And that's maybe the problem. But I don't think we've really played a top line defensive line yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with these guys when they're put under real pressure from start to finish. But I think we'll have to expect them to do better in games like this and you know, open up some holes in the running game.
Yeah.
And if we can establish that run, sky's the limit, as far as I'm concerned.
And again, you know, just looking down the list of who I've heard of from the Chargers, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram III, those two bookend defensive ends, you know, I think we're going to want to run outside or inside, but don't run off tackle, because that's not going to go very well.
Yeah, and Bosa, I think Bosa's coming off. He's got a sack in each game so far, so the O-line need to keep him under control. But again, establishing the run's the main key for me.
Alex, what's your key to the game?
There's two main ones for me, really, because I'll be honest, I look at the Chargers roster, and you know, there's a few players there that I thought that make my heart just skip a few beats, but ultimately, I think it's more focusing on ourselves, on the Bucs. I think if we do what we did this week, so we didn't turn over the ball, so just keep the ball security, keep the ball, and also staying healthy. You know, we saw that again. If we look at the Broncos, how injury-ridden they were, and we completely ripped them to shreds.
In terms of the names, I'll come back to you in terms of who the player to watch is for the Bucs or indeed for the Chargers. But the other thing, I think, so my key to the game, if you were going to ask me, would be, I think, red zone offense for the Bucs. So, again, I watched the highlights last week. I almost thought that my highlights were on a loop because I kept seeing the Panthers kicking a field goal from about 15 yards out. And that's because that Chargers defense, it got backed up, but then they stopped. The red zone defense for them looked really solid. And that kind of worried me because I think we haven't managed to score. We haven't set the scoreboard on fire so far, but we haven't, done ourselves a disservice. But I think once we get down that part of the field, we can't keep coming away with 3 points because the Chargers kept that game alive right until the end. And the reason they did that is because every drive was coming up 3 points for the other team. So that would be my key to the game. So, Gary, let's come back to you then in terms of the player to watch, whether it's a Bucs player or a Chargers player. Who are you going to keep your eye on?
Well, I've written a few down on my notes from the Chargers. I've Keenan Allen, mainly because I've got him in one of my fantasy teams. So I'm in that ridiculous situation where you want him to do really, really well for your fantasy team, but you don't want him to do anything against the Bucs. So how do you square that circle? I don't know.
You bench him. It's obvious. Where's your loyalty, man?
I've written down Fournette stroke Rojo. The lads have mentioned, you know, we've got to get the running game going. You just know that they want to get the running game going. So using the running backs the way they should be used, Fournette, the one up the middle, Rojo, if he's going to break it to the outside, he's the one.
Nick Mort will be proud of you if that comes to fruition. Graham, your players to watch.
I think, carrying on from this week, I think the tight ends, Tampa Bay, OJ Howard looked fantastic. I think he's got his mojo back. Just the look on his face when he caught that ball down the touchline, he was so pumped up. And Gronk is just, I think, maybe just getting back up to match pace now, match fitness. I think the year off must have taken a toll on his body. A year on the beach, you know, and now he's back in playing football. So he's getting there, he's catching up. And I think that these two guys, take your pick, either of those two is going to be a big player in this game on Sunday.
Alex, who's your player to watch?
Yeah, I mean, I agree what Graham and Gary said, but I'm gonna go onto the Chargers here. I'm gonna say a guy we've already mentioned, and that's Joey Bosa. You know, his speed off the edge is frightening, and if he's lined up against a certain tackle, I won't mention any names. You know, it could be disastrous. Who am I talking about, Graham? Have a guess. especially because, you know, Brady, he's not a scrambler. So if Bosa does get through, I think he cause us some real issues there. So we need to make sure we get him tied up.
Yeah, I think for me, the player to watch, we talked about the QB situation at the beginning, Justin Herbert. Again, it's that typical situation of backups, the, you know, center, set the Bucs alight. And he had a really dodgy first half, but by the second half, he found his groove. And I'm worried that if that trend continues, he could become quite, you know, the hot hand.
Kieran, he might be a good player, but he's not going to complete many balls if he's lying on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the last thing we have to do is, of course, put our money where our mouths are and think, what is the score going to be? Graham, do you want to call it?
Yeah, I'm going to go big here. I'm going to say 35-21 for the Bucs, and most of the 21 is going to come and clean up time at the end. I think probably going to this ridiculous prevent defense that we spoke about earlier and give them a few yards and maybe a touchdown or two at the end. But I think we can take this lot to the cleaners, quite frankly.
Oh, I'd like that to happen. Gary, what's your score prediction?
Yeah, I'm fairly similar to Graham. I think the offense will continue to improve. The defense will be fantastic. I'm going 31-17 Bucs.
Oh, similar sort of ballpark. Alex?
Yeah, I'm around the area, but I'm gonna say that our defense are gonna play magnificently all game, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be 31-7 Bucs.
Ooh, it's fantastic. Getting better. Well, I'm gonna follow that trend as we go around the Zoom circle. Maybe it's more desperation than anything. I think this has got shutout written all over it. They're so rare in the NFL. I'm willing it to happen. This is definitely a heart prediction, not a head one. So I'm going to say 28-0.
Okay. I'd love that to be true, Kieran.
Wouldn't we all?
So I think with that brings our show to a close. We hope you agreed with us. If you didn't agree with us, that's fine too. Just tell us why. And maybe we'll read your views out next time. Thank you for joining us. Like, subscribe, join in the forum, join the competitions. If you haven't heard about what any of this is about, goes to bucksuk.org. We have to thank Bucks Report, as usual, for helping promote us. Make sure you follow us on all the social media portals, and we look forward to seeing you next week for what will be a short week with a quick turnaround. So it's goodbye from Alex.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye from Graham.
Bye.
Goodbye from Gary.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. Bye-bye.